Here in Rome and in Turin this month, the Pontifical Gregorian University is running a training course for diplomats from mainly Muslim countries to explore the work of the Holy See and local Catholic organizations in promoting peace and dialogue. The organisers also include the Jacques Maritain International Institute, together with Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and St. Joseph's University in Beirut. For the past 2 weeks, course participants have been hearing from top Vatican officials, including Secretary of State Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, as well as heads of institutes and organisations dealing with delicate issues of international politics and diplomacy.
You need to take into account the factor of the deep convictions of people. And these convictions are directly affecting the political choices and even conditioning possibilities of economic development.
As the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations in Geneva, Archbishop Silvano Tommasi was one of the speakers discussing the key role Catholic diplomats can play in easing tensions between the West and the Muslim world.
At this particular moment in history, when a lot of tensions are built up on the basis of perceived religious motives, I think it is very important that the Catholic Church presents its real identity and its functions in the multilateral diplomacy, as well as in various activities that connect the Church and the Holy See to society. Because we have in the West and in the Americas a difference between religion and society. There is a separation normally between Church and State, while in the Islamic tradition there is one community that combines religious identity and political activity. So this is needed, this kind of distinction, to avoid confusion in the perception of Islamic countries, because they associate everything coming from the West with also Christianity, while many issues there is almost an antagonistic situation between what some Western countries portend to do vis-a-vis Muslim countries or the values that they want to export and the position of the Holy See. One clear example is the area of individual and personal rights, while for a secular society, especially certain bureaucratic cultures in the European Union or even in the UN system, this kind of bureaucratic culture that tends to emphasize the individual as an end in itself. The Church and the Holy See in all its interventions in different branches of the UN and the intergovernmental system always sustains the person as the human being open to relations with others. The person cannot become a full human person if not in relation with other human beings. And this perspective is essential even for Islam, because if the person is not related to others and it has this fundamental attitude of openness, it's impossible to have a sense of transcendence in relation to God, which is where Christianity and Islam converge in the acceptance of one God who is merciful, who is just, who will give a reward after this life according to the deeds, bad or good, of the individual. So for all these reasons, I think this experiment of bringing together diplomats from Arab and Muslim countries of the North Africa and the Middle East is a very bright idea. It's this type of concrete dialogue that opens up possibilities of negotiating issues that are difficult and complex in today's world.
This would somehow replace the work of the purely interreligious dialogue. In other words, it's more important perhaps to keep this pluridimensional approach to interreligious dialogue than just a specifically religious approach.
Yes, I think dialogue is articulated in different ways today. I think we have learned a lot in the last 40 years since the Council and the Decree on Religious Freedom. There is a dialogue of life where you have Muslim families and Christian families that interact, they talk, they even discuss their religious identities together in a very informal, very grassroots type of way. And this happens in a lot of areas around Europe with the new immigrant communities. In Africa, I remember Ethiopia, where you have even intermarriage, where one partner is Christian, the other remain Muslim, and they function, and then there are no problems. Then you have a second level almost of dialogue, where you have religious specialists who talk about their theological differences or their insights, the roots of the connections, the linkages between religions. And this is kind of academic and sincere and important, but it rarely filters down to the people who are the ones who eventually make the decisions on important issues affecting relationship between states and between communities. And then I think there is a third level, and that is the official political level, where you have in the multilateral system that is developing very fast in today's world, where you have a lot of intergovernmental bodies combining forces, presences from Muslim, Hindu, Confucians, Christians of all denominations. And at this level, you don't enter into a specific discussion of religion, but you confront decisions that affect the lives of people. And these decisions are based on values that come from different cultural and religious traditions that need to be taken into account in order to organize a system of interventions in the international reality that makes some sense for everybody. So this initiative here at the Gregorian University and the Jacques Maritain Institute moves at this third level of dialogue. It's more limited in a way, but more in-depth. So it forces future diplomats to say, well, this is the reality of the Holy See and in the international scene, on the international scene, and it makes a contribution that is acceptable, not only, but it is constructive, and on which we can converge.
We heard Pope Benedict again in Brazil talking about how the Church must stay out of politics if it wishes to continue being an independent observer, an independent entity. And yet you're talking about the interface between politics and religion that in a way cannot be separated. How do you interpret his words on this?
I don't see a contradiction with what the Holy Father is saying, which is right, especially in reference to party politics and to specific ideological convictions that transform political action into de facto political partisan politics. Instead, what I'm talking about in reference to the presence of the Holy See in intergovernmental bodies is a dialogue that deals with the concrete issues, the big problems of peace, of solidarity, of development, human rights, and you go down the line, no? That need to be addressed in a collective way by the international community. Otherwise, we will not find an answer. So this kind of approach is not political in the traditional sense of small politics on the national level, parties and power. It's more on the level of forming an international new culture or way of thinking that converge on supporting basic values. The dignity of the human person, the priority of peace over force, the need of having some form of solidarity with the smaller countries to allow the small economies to enter into the open market and not to have just a few big countries to call the shots and determine what is good or bad, usually for their own interest. So this is the way that the Holy See is present and finds a support and an adherence on the part of other countries and other forces, because there is a lot of goodwill out there on which we need to bank and to use it as leverage to open up possibilities for the construction of a future international society where globalization is not at the service of a few people, but it becomes a mechanism that allows everybody to participate around the table of life.
There is, as you say, an increasing presence of this religious voice, if you like, informing this new culture that you're talking about. And yet you spoke recently about an anti-religious fanaticism that is becoming a new threat, really, to believers, even in the most democratic countries. What exactly do you mean by that?
In my experience in the Human Rights Council, for example, there is an explicit awareness, and ambassadors talk very openly, of the importance of having roundtables on religious freedom, freedom of expression, and the conviction, the deep convictions of people, even if they are not conviction framed in religious terminology or in religious imagery. Because there is a felt need that in order to function in today's world in international relations, you need to take into account the factor of the deep convictions of people. And these convictions are directly affecting their political choices and even conditioning possibilities of economic development. So in that way, I think there is a positive step forward in bringing back in a way into the public debate a religious dimension. This is something in the making, something that I perceive as a little bit of a novelty in these international fora. On the other hand, we also have an extreme reaction in some areas of the world against people of different belief and different religious convictions. And this reaction goes into violence on occasions. We have seen examples in various parts of the world, from Turkey to Nigeria to Indonesia and Iraq. What is interesting is that not the governments and not society as such are the actors of these deeds of violence, but are small groups within these societies. And that's why it's so important to create these kind of links with official people participating in decision-making processes, and above all, in the formation of this international future culture, to diffuse the small groups that are fundamentalist in their thinking, and allow the common values, as the Holy Father insists, the common reason that we have as human beings, as a tool for the real dialogue before any theological discussion. But on this base of an anthropology, of an understanding of the human being, that allows the commonality to take precedence over our different histories and cultural identities.
And my thanks there to Archbishop Silvano Tomasi, the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations in Geneva.